floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is a show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And indeed, we have two tremendous guests coming to join us today. We're going to be joined first by George Olander, the author of Predicting the Unpredictable. What a great title. Read through it a little bit, and then I'm very pleased to bring on Charles Morris at 11:30. He's going to be joining us. The author of The Trillion Dollar Meltdown, folks, I just read it cover to cover. It is important, okay? It is important. So let's just go back again. The time we use right now to fill in what I see is going on in the market and getting you caught up in what we're doing here at Magnet, what we're seeing and how, most importantly, we're reacting to it. So let me first say, I've been contacted a number of times by the media this week. The postings are already up on the website, some interviews by CNBC, another one by the Wall Street Transcript, and again, what was pointed out to me was the narrow focus, the day-to-day questions that people are coming at us with, not the big picture, not the how to really focus in and make the most amount of money, but again, because, let's just stay humble here, because we've been on the right side of the market for so long, people want to know what we're doing, what we want to think short term, but what I'm saying, what I think you need to know here is I just honestly don't remember the news this bad. I don't remember the pessimism that you could literally cut with a knife right now. And while I am not in the prediction mode, I honestly can't figure out what news comes here, what the actual turning point is here. It's obviously got to do something with the housing market. It's got to have something to do, of course, with the intervention in this financial system, which has been on its back and doesn't feel like it can get out of its own way. But when you get this much pessimism, when you get this much cash built up on the sideline because people are so negative, this is exactly how and where a turn comes from. So I'm not sure when. I'm not saying the new lows have been put in, but we've already seen days with 1,200 new lows and 5 new highs. We've already seen days this week with not one sector registering 2 new highs. Okay, so these are times where the market gets very washed out, people are on their heels, they start to buy lots of puts, they start to get very negative, and somehow, somewhere, the invisible hand comes in, and things just start to trade better. No one can understand why. They're saying, well, isn't the news as bad as yesterday? But in fact, the market just starts to trend higher. Not only that, but some of the things, the financials, which have been leading the market lower consistently, all of a sudden they turn on a dime. But folks, I'm not predicting it. I don't expect it. All we know is that by sticking with the very few, the narrowly diversified portfolio of only companies that meet our highest standards, we can actually turn our back on the news and focus on the companies we own because, frankly, they are delivering all we need, which is higher cash flow, higher margin acceleration, earning surprises to the upside when they do report, and, of course, profits for us and our shareholders. So I couldn't be more confident in the long run about our country, the world's economy, the fact that people are living longer, eating better, and have a higher standard of living. And this creates all kinds of opportunity to people who can deliver. The reality is that what we talk about over and over is that very few people, in fact, can deliver. That's the nature of the world. That's the nature of the economy. That's the nature of things. There can only be a few superlatives of anything. I've been having an absolute blast writing this next book that's coming out. We've got some deadlines coming up, and people who know me know I don't tend to miss too many deadlines. It's wonderful interviewing the top money managers, the top analysts, the top investors of our era and the last couple of generations to see their take on this kind of very interesting, important question of how diversified should you be? How many companies makes a diversified portfolio? And how did they go ahead and achieve these results in a world of mediocrity? And that's the question that we go back over and over again. What I will say is there's a wonderful, wonderful job being done internally here at Magnet, keeping our website up to date. So all these articles I have just been interviewed for, some articles I have written, some interviews we just did on Fox and CNBC, they're all up on the website at magnetinvesting.com. Click under media and then read and enjoy. Again, this whole quest of ours has been to help people become better investors, not to promote a stock, not to promote a sector, not to promote anything, but to just seek the truth. Ask the question, what is, and then help people become better investors. And of course, a lot of the people we deal with just simply don't have the time or want to manage their own portfolio and lay some capital onto Magnet to let them compete with us. And that's what we ask you, compete with us. Let us challenge you. You challenge us. It's all about not the highest possible return we can generate, because we've already done that before, and we've encountered volatility along the way. This is a different methodology. This is the implementation of the Magnet stock selection process according to very, very strict rules that we're using to manage money. And I will admit, I have an aggressive streak. There was a point where we felt the only way to stand out was to try to have the highest return in the United States. What we now are determined to do is be in the top tier of the risk reward for the 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, and infinity. Because what we have done here, folks, is we built a organization that is bigger than me, that frankly doesn't need me anymore, that allows me to do what I do best and what I most enjoy, which is educating and helping people become better. This is not about chart reading in here. This is not about interpreting news faster or better than other people. This is the most thorough diagnostic on what is, and simply adjusting the portfolio to have the single best companies, regardless of what industry, regardless of what country, and regardless of what product. I guess the only qualification there, folks, if there was a bad guy out there making bad stuff for bad people, we'd probably eliminate that company from our portfolio, but that's not an issue right here. We're into things like yellow grease, believe it or not. And if you don't know what yellow grease is, folks, give us a call, because they're actually stealing it all around the country, and most people have still never heard of it. What we want to be involved with is companies that have a product that people are actually figuring out devious ways to steal their product in the middle of the night, not things that nobody even cares enough about to leave it sit on the shelf and have inventory problems. So it's a different approach. It's an approach to determine what actually are the superlative companies, who are they, and then simply keep informed about everything else and just know about other things and learn about other things. But there's only one way companies actually have the ability to get into our portfolio, and that's if fundamentally all the hurdles we've set, and these are very high hurdles, and there's a whole lot of them, the only companies we'll even consider are companies that meet our financial metrics and then pass the test of further review. So, folks, what about a company that makes product to allow companies to use alternate energy sources? And what if that company, when they reported earnings, beat their street estimate by 150%? And what if that company happens to be too small for most money managers to buy, but is already going up and performing and acting like a great superstar? Yes, that's what's called a magnet stock. It's sitting in our portfolio, and no, we won't give out the names. That's not the business we're in anymore, and we are teaching you instead, learn how to fish, learn how to evaluate other money managers, and do not accept this thing of blaming other people for lack of their results, folks. Take accountability. Get in front of your own problems. Don't expect others to solve them for you. This is a new approach. No blame. No finger pointing. Take responsibility and win, and that's the message. And, folks, I will tell you, we've had 300 people approach us to come on the show. The guests are getting up and up and up in stature. Next, we're bringing on George Olander, the co-author of Predicting the Unpredictable. What we're talking about here is neural networks. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back. We are having a blast here on Voice America Business, and you're listening to Profitable Investing. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspects of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.
With thousands of homes destroyed or damaged by fire, lots of people are wondering what to do next. If you are a wildfire survivor, SoCalHelp.org can help you find support and decide what to do, right now, wherever you are. This easy-to-use website is a place you can go to get immediate help with food, shelter, and important medications, and start getting your life back on track. Get help now with insurance, legal issues, and find professional services like doctors and counselors. You can access contact information for national agencies, hotlines, and services that have the resources you need. You can also connect with other survivors and people who can help. For the answers and support you need to rebuild, visit SoCalHelp.org.
the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And I'd like to set up this next gentleman and hope he figures out how to make it in on time. But we received an excellent book, Predicting the Unpredictable. He's talking about neural networks enhancing predictability, performance, and portfolio manager. And I paged through it. I just got the book the other day, so I really haven't had the chance and the opportunity to read through the whole thing. But I will tell you, it brings up an incredibly interesting concept and something I've talked about over and over again, which is this idea that we predicted way back when the World Wide Web just showed up, and what we said was that sooner or later, and it happened much sooner than we thought, people would begin to be able to use screening, to use more and more computer advantages, and really take the decision-making not out of the hands of an investor, but to enhance it dramatically. And again, as I write my next book where we talk about the old original studies done on asset allocation and diversification, well, what's interesting is those things were done and those studies done before a lot of the computing power that's available right now even was available. In fact, before there were certain alternatives and ways to actually either hedge your portfolio or manage your portfolio in a way that wasn't simply available when you were using the original asset allocation study. So if you think about this, there are some really savvy people. Warren Buffett likes to say, they don't even have a computer in his office. Mr. Buffett, I would respectfully challenge you. I'd love to see your office. And it's very hard to believe that much money with that many options that are traded at Berkshire, with that many derivatives on the books, that there's still no computers. But we'll give him a break. We understand what he meant. The judgment is actually, in his shop, not computer-driven, but driven understanding, management, most importantly, folks, and again, that's what the M in Magnet stands for. But the ability to use computers to both screen, to monitor, to find events that may correlate and impact on your portfolio is critical. Now, we've had Michael Steinhardt on our show. He took the full hour, and folks, if you haven't seen or heard Michael's interview, it's really worthwhile. Michael Steinhardt had for over 25 years the single highest documented track record of any hedge fund in history, and at the top of his game, simply retired and gave back $18 billion to his shareholders because he couldn't get his son in the business and he wouldn't sell his entity to another firm. Again, he did everything through his own neural network, and he had one of the fastest, sharpest minds ever, and in fact, he would be able to make all sorts of inferences and short companies and short stocks based on events that he was reading about in real time. Well, folks, I could just tell you, honestly, I don't have that. And I don't know anybody who really has it to his level. So I think more importantly, you need to use the tools that are out there. You need to have the ability to figure out how to take every additional advantage you can generate to win and make money in this market. Because what we have said before and again, A lot of guys out there try to sell you software telling you how easy this is and you too can pick winners and all you need to do is blah, 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 and within 30 seconds and blah, blah, blah. And, folks, if it was that easy, obviously they wouldn't actually be selling their model. It is extremely important, and one of the most important things that I have actually swallowed a couple years ago was something called my ego, okay? And I talk to everybody who comes to intern for us, everyone that comes to work for us. I share the movie. If you haven't seen the movie Pi, P-I-E, folks, go out and rent it. It is disturbing in many ways, but the conclusion is extremely important. The conclusion is extremely interesting, and that is, in fact, that there actually is no holy grail. And or if there is a holy grail, by the time you find it, you will have lost your mind trying to solve that equation. And pi, that unsolvable number that continues on and on into infinity, well, folks, the key is being able, if you can, to think of it in terms of probability. And if you know how the game blackjack works, just imagine being able to set your hand up with all 11s and then have the dealer get a 16. And, folks, if you were able to do that somehow, you would actually have a statistical advantage, and the longer you played and the more you played with, the more money you'd make. That doesn't mean on any one time on your 11 you're not going to pull a 1 or the dealer's not going to pull a 5 and beat you, because what we know in this market and we know in this world that anything can happen, so you never put yourself in a do-or-die situation. It comes down to the best possible odds with the best possible money management. If I'm making it sound like gambling, it is not. Probability is just one aspect where you can apply it to gambling. But in probability, folks, which is real and repeatable and understandable, this is how actually real money is made in the market. There are people who are intuitive, like Michael Steinhardt, who's got the ability to trade with the best, to play poker with the best, to fake them, to buy them, to sell them, to trade them. That's just not what we do, and when instead we use our strength, we use a 25-year quest to determine what, in fact, makes a great company, stemming from the initial observation that there are only a few superlatives of anything. Why not figure out how to find the superlative stock? So now we are in the implementation phase of our model. Our money is at work. Our mutual fund is using this methodology scientifically to a T. And yes, we're outperforming the market. Yes, we're being validated again by the market. But if you know us and you know our approach, the more the market goes our way, the more things go our way, the humbler we need to be. And sometime within the next couple of days, I'm going to pen that article I promised that's titled, A Bull is Worried. But, folks, I'm not worried about the stock market. We are, in fact, in a bear market. We are in a recession. This is a fact. Well, why does that not bother me? Well, probably we are somewhere near three-quarters through the damage in the general market. We don't know. We're not going to predict. We're probably 85% done whipping the financials, but we don't know that. We continue to remain more short financials than long. It's just because our model says so, and our model will tell us when we want to do something different. In the meantime, what we will remain doing is absolute discipline, absolute adherence to a process. Well, folks, I want to segue into our next guest, and I'm really looking forward to Charles Morris joining us right after the break. And he has written some magnificent, magnificent books over the years, and he's tackling this issue. He's calling it the trillion-dollar meltdown. It's all about what's gone on in the last 20 or 30 years to kind of create this place the financials got themselves in. And my point is, I think he's got some solutions. I want to make sure I understand what his conclusion of the book is, because we can't remain one of the only healthy flowers in a financial debacle here right now. The reality is, there's got to be a fix to this solution, otherwise everybody gets sick. And if everybody gets sick, it really doesn't matter how healthy you are, because, you know, in the end, you need to have healthy people around you, and that's what we're looking to do for society. We're looking to create solutions, not only talk about problems. And folks, the good news here is that there are a handful of companies, and a little more than a handful, that are bulging with cash that they're generating through operations because they're simply superlative. They have a great idea and they've got great management to execute it, and as a result, their pockets are bulging, institutions are finding them, they are magnets. You can only outperform expectations for so long before other people finally climb on board and say, you gotta get invested in this. This is a winner. You gotta find this. And this is what happens with magnets. They spread. It becomes viral. Everyone gets interested in them. They shoot up in price. And then as a result, they get overpriced, overloved, and then generally get sloppy in execution. They're no longer magnets. And, folks, it's time to move on and find the next magnet. Sounds, what, like a day trader? Absolutely not. It's a very disciplined approach of finding superlatives. Folks, I'm looking forward to the next segment here right now. We're looking for Charles Morris to join us. If you haven't read his book, get your hands on it. If you haven't heard him speak, folks, I believe you're in for a treat, so stick with us. We'll be right back with Charles Morris, the author of The Trillion Dollar Meltdown. Stick with us right after this quick commercial break.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Our team of investment professionals, supported by our quantitative magnet stock selection process, is committed to the goal of providing excess market returns to clients around the world. We target the fastest growing companies that are still trading at a discount to their intrinsic value. Companies in this category are likely to enjoy dynamic earnings growth. We call these companies magnets. They tend to simulate investor response and create powerful returns. The value-added benefit of magnets' quantitative analysis and portfolio management has been extraordinary. After ranking all eligible companies, we only buy less than the top 1% of the companies we monitor. The first step involves quantitative analysis of individual companies. Often special situation companies with a market niche are captured by our screening process. Our strategy is intended to take advantage of our global economy while achieving long-term capital appreciation.
I'm Paul Hopkins, CEO of Farmers Insurance, and a proud sponsor of March of Dimes' premier walking event, March for Babies, formerly known as Walk America. More babies begin healthy lives because of March of Dimes' research and programs. And with farmers' support, we can do even more for families all over America. One day, all babies will be born healthy, but we have to walk to get there. Join the March for Babies. Sign up at marchforbabies.org.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
Alrighty, folks, and welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, and it is an absolute pleasure now. We're bringing on Charles Morris, his latest book, The Trillion Dollar Meltdown, on, I believe, already a bestseller list, and he has several bestsellers over the last couple dozen years. So, Charles, thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm very happy to be here. Jordan, thanks for having me.
All righty. And let me first say that, you know, when you read this title, it's as scary as can be. One of the things I noticed right at the bottom of a terrible time in the country's history, the last really, you know, stagflation type period in 81, you wrote a book called The Coming Global Boom. So I know you're not a doom and gloom guy, you're not a permabull, you're addressing the important things of the day. So I want to get into this. In our process, Charles, the M in Magnet stands for management. So if you don't mind, and I know you're a humble guy, but if you just for a couple minutes, your own background, and then we'll get into the book itself.
Well, I'm a lawyer. I've worked as a banker. And for a long time, I had a consulting firm. I worked with a lot of the leverage buyout guys. And what I basically did is look at firms that they were thinking that they might want to take into their portfolios. I'd go out there and kick the tires, as it were, and try to figure out what these things were really worth.
Well, fantastic. And again, it's a great background, and that allowed you, obviously, to see the inside out. And I think, just to set it up for one moment, you address in the trillion-dollar meltdown this whole kind of period back from when mom stayed at home and fathers worked in a very secure environment up into this kind of new slash and crash, Burnham, ultra society of high super leverage, which is just so different, you know, than it was years ago. So you're talking about this trillion-dollar meltdown. We only have a few minutes here, so I want to get into this thing that some people will read this title and think that the problems are actually insurmountable and, you know, sell everything and go to the hills. I think you're saying something dramatically different, though. So, you know, maybe you want to touch about the scope of it, but then tell me, you know, if in fact I ought to run for the hills or if you see a possible solution.
Well, it's not really running to the hills. There's some basic numbers. Between the years 2000 and 2007, total U.S. GDP, that's all the goods and services that we actually produced, were $92.5 trillion. Okay. What we spent during that time was $97 trillion. That's a $4.5 trillion excess. Most of that money came out of the household sector. And most of that was paid for by taking debt out of their homes. So people borrowed $4.2 trillion out of home equity, which they spent on other stuff. All of that was bought from overseas. So that's kind of like where we're stuck. And they could borrow all that money only because house prices doubled between the year 2000 and 2005. And that was basically a fake process that was really driven by the banks. It wasn't a real game. Every other time you've seen a great big house price move like that, there's been some major demographic thing going on, like the baby boomers turning into adults, the whole country moving to the southeast and the southwest. Those kinds of things were going on in the 1980s and so forth. This time, there's really nothing. It was just something built out of air by the banks.
Right, total leverage, and then leverage.
Total leverage. And they learned that they could package these things up. They could make these very attractive bonds, and in a clearly collusive way, got AAA ratings out of credit agencies that they could sell all over the world. And it's really interesting now. If you look at it, the kinds of bonds, the kinds of mortgages that worked best for those bonds were the subprime high-risk ones because they carried higher yields.
Mm-hmm.
And you really needed to have 8 to 9% yields to build these very complex structures. So that's what really drove all of this. And they took huge profits out while they were building all these toxic assets and really, you know, spreading them all throughout the Western world. That's a bad thing.
Right. Not only a bad thing, but it's a thing that I believe that one of the most important things that you're addressing in the book is not only did we get into a predicament, but they try to sweep it under a carpet addressing it head on.
Exactly right. So what are we doing now at the federal level? Well, first of all, now we know that consumers spent much more money than they had from 2000 to 2007. It wasn't their fault because the banks were simply throwing loans at them. So the first thing that we're doing is the federal government's borrowing money so they can send taxes back so people can keep on, you know, spending over their means. Second thing that we know, house prices are grossly overvalued now, and everybody listening to this who owns a house is going, oh, my God, my house can't be overvalued. Sorry, it really probably is, and house prices are really going to fall. So the federal government, though, is actually between Fannie and Freddie and the federal home loan banks has already thrown more than at least a trillion dollars buying mortgages from banks, so they're sort of hoping to keep house prices high. Well, this is really a losing game, and that's sad because that's going to be very hard. I think this is going to take us 3 or 4 years to really work through, so to get prices down, get consumers spending, you know, back into a rough balance with what they have to save, and make the banks take all the hits. One more thing. In 2007, if you follow the way that the Commerce Department keeps these figures, the banks made 40% of all corporate profits.
Wow.
The banks and the investment banks, that whole sector. Now, that's simply crazy. And so we really have to shrink that whole sector down and get back to doing real things and not just, you know, letting the banks spin these golden wheels.
Right. Well, I think that's a wonderful point. The question is when banks or financiers are simply packaging and repackaging, what actually is getting manufactured? And, you know, one of the things I think about, Charles, which is why I asked you before we started to meet with you, I know you have a great history. You've written other books. You've talked about a time when probably we were in a last position like this. We saw inflation and problems with consumer spending. Right. That what actually happened was we needed a strong Fed, not one to throw money at the problem, but one to flush the problems And you talk about that extensively in the book. And I guess I'm asking, do you think that's what needs to get done again this time?
Well, I'm afraid so, and it's going to be hard. I mean, the one of the things that happened when Paul Volcker, who I think is still one of my all-time heroes, when he came into the Fed, because it was a little bit different, because that time the sort of Wall Street bubble fed into the consumer price that people had to pay every day. So there was a huge groundswell that we just can't tolerate 10 and 12 and 13% consumer price inflation. So he had a lot of backing to go in and get this thing fixed, and he took very tough, hard stands, drove a great big crash that lasted from about 1981 through 1982, and then we came out and we had about 20 years of fairly strong growth, right? Well, now people are sort of happy that their house prices are high, so it's going to be harder to kind of get what's now an asset price bubble back down to a norm. And it's going to be hard to build the kind of political clout. What I really fear is that what we're going through here now is something very much like what Japan went through in the 1990s. And what they did is pretty much what we're trying to do now. They simply tried to, you know, hide it, paper over it, have the government take the loans onto their own books, sort of act as though everything was fine. And they were in a slump that lasted for 15 years. It may even still be going on. So that's the worst thing that we can do. Pretty much,
you know, Charles, I'm hearing music come in my ear. I don't know what your time frame is. We could even take a couple extra minutes after commercial. We should have you on again.
Sure. Glad.
Can you stay with us?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Well, folks, that's great news. We're going to have Charles Morris for a little bit longer today. We have a special treat here, one of the most knowledgeable guys who's seen and done it himself. Stick with us. We're going to be right back following this very quick break. We'll be back with more Charles Morris right away.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspect of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back once again to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel, and we are joined. We're keeping Charles Morris. And Charles, I really appreciate you spending a little extra time with us. And it must be nice. I've written my own book, but it must be nice to see your name on the bestseller list and do it more than one time. It's a real honor to have you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. So before the break, you mentioned something that I haven't really thought much about, but it's a really interesting dilemma. The dilemma being that the public is absolutely furious about the price inflation at the grocery store and at the pump, and we hear about gas and food every day, but what you're saying is the stem of it all is the high prices of the houses, and
right.
That's the stem. So they don't want the prices to go down. They just want the price of everything else to go down.
Right, exactly right. And they've been using, I mean, those high housing prices have fueled all kinds of extra spending, and that's what's really driving up the other prices, too, now. So, I mean,
unbelievable.
We have to get back, and this is a sad, harsh thing to kind of say. The other way that we managed to fund this great big spending boom that we had is personal savings on an annual basis went down to really from about 10% of incomes to zero. Now, we have to get that back up. And we just can't have all of this easy credit. Now, everybody's got kids. As soon as they turn 17 or 18, they start getting all these credit card commons. Well, this isn't the way to run a country.
Right. And I think that, I got to just say one thing real fast. I remember being over at the Fox studios when in walked a very, very tan gentleman who was running Countrywide. He was a big celebrity at the moment. He walked
Mozilla,
in with a guy from KB Holmes.
Yeah.
The guy from KB Holmes, incidentally, was one of the first guys to get caught manipulating his housing numbers. He resigned very rapidly, but these guys are heroes while they were creating these tremendous problems. But let me go to another thing in the book, and I want to kind of challenge myself. I want to understand this. When we talk about a trillion-dollar meltdown, it sounds like such a dramatically large number, but what I try to put in perspective is that the stock market itself just pulled in $1 trillion, that the stock market, the world economy in the housing market, the credit market, the stock market is actually so tremendously large that we could absorb a $1 trillion loss. And it doesn't mean that things go,
Oh, that's true. No, there's no question about that. Yeah. And that's why I think that it's really important for the federal government, I think, and it's not going to happen this time, but whichever government comes, you can't do anything in the last year of a lame duck administration. But I think it's going to be really important whether it's going to be a John McCain or a Barack Obama, that they come in and say, look, we've got to get back to real basics here. And there's some people would do it in a harsh, fast way. Some would give you more help. I think that we should do that, give more help to the folks who are going to get really hurt here. But we have to get back to an economy that's predicated on something more than simply borrowing and buying money from and buying, TV sets from overseas. That's not a long-term answer.
Right, right. And see, what I've been talking about, and I guess this is, my belief is that we have the ability in here to make better products. We'd all like to buy American if, in fact, we can bring out a product, but you can't expect Americans to just buy local if we're not making a good enough product.
Exactly, yeah.
So let me just say this. You know, lunch is on me. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait to meet you. If you can, why don't you take a moment? If this, we know we can find your books in the bookstore and on Amazon. Is there any, though, contact information, whether a website or another source where they could reach out?
I don't maintain a website blog. And maybe I
should. Folks, let me say this then on your behalf, and I know you're a modest guy. Folks, if you haven't gone out and read The Trillion Dollar Meltdown, it's probably the most authoritative summary about what's happened in the last 20 years in the credit market and what we're working through. And if you see guys who like to kind of capitalize on gloom and doom because they know it sells, this is not the guy. In the 1980 period when people were absolutely stuffed with pessimism, it was Mr. Morris who came out with the title, The Coming Global Boom, the New York Times notable book of 19. You know, all you have to say, folks, is this is a gentleman who has called it accurately for more than 20 years and 25 years in the market. I want to thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to contact you for lunch, and thanks again.
Thank you very much. Very much. It's been a real pleasure.
All righty, okay. Folks. And you just got treated, folks, to one of the most prolific but great authors. And, folks, what amazes me about this book is you see here, although it must have been in the planning stage for a while, he started writing this in the fall of last year and was able to bring it into hardcover. And it's a wonderfully well-written book. And I think the point I also want to bring out about this book, folks, is that if, in fact, you make the hard decisions and you fess up to mistakes, almost everything is correctable. But when you hide problems and you compound problems, it's like a toothache that you ignore that comes back as a raging root canal. And I think what Mr. Morris was saying in his book is that if you make the hard decisions, frankly, some companies that absolutely blew it and, you know, created problems for themselves have to fail. They have to be allowed to fail. And the good news is the largest airliner of the 80s and 70s and 60s, the great venerable Pan Am, was allowed to go bankrupt. The airline business has never been bigger. We've seen Bethlehem Steel go out of business, and the steel business has never been bigger. We've seen numerous brokerage firms throughout the century go broke just because they had to, and to throw money at every problem and throw liquidity at every problem simply prolongs the inevitable. And I think what we're talking about is taking some bad medicine when you have to in order to get through these times. And the other part of it is that the size of the global economy is, in fact, so enormous that a $1 billion loss can be taken. We can dust ourselves off, but it's the hard decisions and the decision to go forward as a strong, efficient manufacturer of goods, sell them to the rest of the world like we used to, and start getting some of that balance of cash flow back in the hands of Americans and keep America strong and invest, be honest, work hard, don't cut corners, and if, in fact, you made a mistake, one of the rules I said in my office is when you handle money, mistakes are going to happen. But as soon as a mistake happens, if we bought too many shares or too few shares or the wrong share, admit your mistakes right away. Do not try to hide mistakes, since they will, in fact, come back, and they come back larger, they come back raw, and they come back mean. So, folks, what a wonderful treat to have Charles Morris on for a double session. I want to wish you a profitable week ahead. You got to cut through this gloom and doom, figure out where the superlatives are, stay patient, stay healthy, go to the beach, kiss your kids, and hopefully we'll see you here right same place, same time next week on Profitable Investing and Voice America Business. We'll see you. Bye now.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in for another exciting hour of profitable investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.